Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, we continue our Lollapalooza week here on the Download, featuring musicians, artists, and personalities in town for the big festival this weekend in Grant Park. One of the great things about the festival are the events and after parties that are happening all over the city. Tomorrow, there's a live broadcast of Sway in the Morning. Of course, that show is one of the biggest in hip-hop and entertainment, airing on Sirius XM. The show will be broadcast from the First Ward Chop Shop in Wicker Park. You can come watch. The broadcast starts at 7 a.m. Sway, of course, the popular personality who's created an empire at Sirius XM. The DJ originally came up as a rapper, but he quickly rose to prominence as a reporter and executive producer for MTV News. But it's Sway's time at Sirius that made him an instrumental voice in hip-hop. Whether it's deep interviews with the biggest names or my favorite, the segment Five Fingers of Death, which has artists freestyle the different beats in studio, Sway is must-listen-to viral content. The latest one with Chicago and Vic Mensa, unreal.
Yeah,
turn them headphones up, man. Swear it all goes down.
I don't want to talk about no beef. I don't like pork and I don't like police. They'd rather I don't speak than to hear a black man speak his mind. But I'm a rap genius. You got to read between the lines. I guess I'm playing with their heads now. Just to make sure that they don't forget. I let them argue all day in the barbershop about who's the best MCs, Kendrick, Cole, and Vic. Please, don't let them distract you with the nonsense. When did art turn into content? I'm still in Chicago, I've been the king. I ain't never had to leave to get a ring on some LeBron-ish. This bar's for the victims lost in Orlando. There's a lot of hate, but love is the strongest ammo. Presidential candidates on the channels like Kerry Washington, the way they profiting off a scandal. But we just keep it real the most.
Sway will be in Chicago tomorrow morning for his show and for Lollapalooza, but he is here first tonight on the Download. Sway, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Hey, man, I almost didn't know who you were talking about, Justin, when you were describing that guy.
Coming to Chicago, do a live show. Talk about, first, how often do you get through town?
You know, I've come to Chicago since the 1990s. I used to be on a radio station called We Jams in Chicago.
Right.
I was doing a syndicated show called The Wake Up Show with my partner, King Tech. And because we were on that station, we would come and do, like, DJ battles and the whole nine. I'm from Oakland, so Chicago reminds me a lot of Oakland, California. And both cities kind of experience the same adversity, whether, you know, you're talking about street politics or city government, as dense in Oakland like it is in Chicago. So I felt comfortable in Chicago. I've come every year for probably the past 10 years. We've done broadcasts in Chicago probably for the past 4 or 5 years. You know, I was there when President Barack Obama was accepted the nomination. I come to Chicago often. I got great friends in Chicago. And I've known Kanye since he first started. Common and I, our careers have ran parallel. So I say all this to say I'm a big fan of Chicago, and I try to come every year.
Doing a live show of your broadcast, and your broadcast viral, anyone who is a fan of hip-hop knows your show because a lot of the material that's on the show ends up on YouTube or other places and is consumed by the masses. To come to Chicago and do the show in front of a live audience, do you like doing that? Do you like getting out of the studio and doing something in front of an audience, a radio program?
I think you and me are probably similar in that way because I could tell by your energy in the clips I've seen of you online that you're a people's person and like to communicate, you know. So you're doing your shows all the time. I'm doing my shows all the time. And it's great when you can make a connection through frequency and airwaves and, you know, and all of those things. But there's nothing like that human contact, being able to see the people that actually support and invested in what you do every day and vice versa. I mean, my objective in that morning show, it could get kind of, you know, it's uncensored radio. So the lyrical content could get kind of harsh. But when we break the mic, you know, we really try to bring substance or we try to bring joy, laughter. You know, we're very comfortable. There's nothing scripted, and I like to have that experience with people in person. I like to have that feeling. I like to shake your hand. I'm very interested, like, the fact that you like the Five Fingers of Death. You know, that's a really popular segment, and it fascinates me because it's something I like, so we have that in common. So I like that it entertains folks. So it means that your show is making an impact on people's lives. Sometimes people call up there to yell at us, and we get into these great arguments. And by the end of the conversation, it's like, man, well, I'll hear from you tomorrow with your dumb ass. So we love you, you know.
to be a voice, to be in this in that seat, Sway in the Morning on Sirius XM, and have the hip hop world come through and be able to tell their stories, get deep, to, you know, perform live, put themselves in situations that may not be controlled. That's huge. You become almost an observer of the hip hop scene. Tell us about today's generation, the musicians that are coming up that will be featured on your show, and how you see hip-hop moving forward and evolving. What do you see from today's newer generation and artists that are coming through the program as opposed to the ones that came through 5, 10, 15 years ago?
I find them fascinating. You know why? Because I think they're very resilient. They're very cocky. You know, they're really, surely they're somewhat entitled. You know, they don't care as much about the history or. And that's a broad statement, not all of them, but a lot of folks we've learned that from. And then there's some, you know, I have an 18-year-old daughter who's a historian buff and challenges me on lyrics that Kendrick says compared to lyrics that Future says, or, you know, that side of it, too.
Right.
I find it fascinating because they're functioning without the limitations that we had coming up in the game. When I was an artist, we had technological limitations. We had mental limitations, we have societal limitations that we were dealing with that are more dense, I think, than this generation. So they don't have the same limitations. So the kind of music they're making is different. You know, we have rules, you know, well, man, you can't really be singing if you're going to call yourself a hip-hop artist. You're not a real rapper. You're not a spitter. You know, we came up in that day and age of, now if you don't sing, you're not a full artist. You know what I mean?
Right.
Singing was frowned upon. Certain things you wore was frowned upon. If you like rock, you know, all these different things, these limitations we set for ourselves. You know, when you hear a Ray Shrimmer and Swayze, and you hear these guys, how they structure songs, how they write, how they play with melodies, when you really dig into what is Future doing, maybe, you know, he's not as lyrical as Kendrick, but he's creating something that's appealing. What's at the core of that? What, you know, why, what's at the sweet spot of that? And there wasn't nobody who could sound like Future in 1988 or 91 and get away with it.
And another thing, too, we here in Chicago, we're going to see at Lollapalooza on Saturday night, Chance the Rapper, and headline of the whole festival. It's amazing to think about he being an independent artist who went all the way and won a Grammy. And it looks to me now that independent artists has become a genre. You know, you can almost see it. If you do a drop down menu on Apple Music, it'll be independent. Talk about how hip hop artists in general have taken that idea of being independent outside of the record industry, outside of the record labels, and made a name for themselves.
I think it's amazing. I think it's what it was always meant to be realized. You know, back in the Sugar Hill days and, you know, back in the Rapper's Delight days and Sugar Hill Gang Records, you know, the creators had no control over the industry. You had the music execs and you had, you know, those who danced on stage and sang on mics, you know, the producers, the songwriters, the performers, but they didn't control the infrastructure. They didn't control how and when their songs were being released. They didn't control their artwork. Some of them didn't even control their promo pictures, let alone what single was going to be released or who's going to write the song or who's going to produce it. Now you're in a day and age where you could do all of that all by yourself. I was talking to Vic Mensa about his autobiography project and how much, you know, he got no ID to produce on it. You know, that's, you know, we all know mentor Kanye and just did Jay-Z's album, and he was able to have that choice. Back then, you might not have that choice. I think it's great to watch it now. We just saw these studies that have shown that hip-hop is the most powerful, highest-selling genre, most influential genre right now, overpassing rock. And wow. I think the streaming technology has helped people realize how big hip-hop really is and how impactful it is across the globe, across the board, across any genre. You know, but this is really a dream realized. This is kind of cyclical because in the 80s, you had a similar revolution happening when the music business was just really hard to break into. So you had guys like Eazy-E create a Ruthless Records, Too Short have a record label called 75 Girls, and doing independent distribution through independent distributors like California Record Distributors or City Hall Distribution that dealt with mostly local talent. This was taking place in the 80s. So Jay Prince in Houston starting Rap-A-Lot Records. And I'm sure there was people in Chicago doing it independent as well. you know, Poe Pimp Project and all those things. I think those were all, if I'm not mistaken, independent. But we were independent. The behemoth infrastructure of the music business still swallowed us up because we didn't have enough tools. This digital age allowed kids to really change the way music is being heard and listened to. And the music business didn't really adjust to it properly quick enough. So now the power pendulum has switched, and now it's in the hands of the creators. You know, it's almost like being on a plantation and the overseer's handing the guns to the slaves.
We're talking with Sway, of course, from Sway in the Morning, the wildly popular show on SiriusXM, as you heard every morning. It's going to be broadcast live from First Ward Chop Shop in Wicker Park tomorrow morning. 7 a.m. Is the broadcast start time at Chop Shop in Wicker Park, of course, in town for Lollapalooza. You mentioned, you know, Vic Mensa, and we talked a little bit about Chance, but Chicago has a really robust scene right now when it comes to hip-hop. For those listening in WGN who might not necessarily know those names, for you being almost the spokesperson for hip-hop right now, what do you think of the artists that are coming out of Chicago from a national lens?
You said something earlier that I never really considered, but I'm an observer now. I'm a fan. You know, I'm somewhat of a historian who's lucky enough to be able to play in the sandbox with the other kids. You know what I mean? So when I look at Chicago, I recognize something. You know, I always try to stay in the moment and I always try to recognize when you're in a moment. And we've seen cycles. You know, we've seen this happen in hip-hop, at least always, since day one. New York was the mecca, and it had a tight hold on the music business, and it even had a tight hold on the trends or the zeitgeist of your average music lover or hip-hop fan. Then we watched it go to the West Coast and Death Row and N.W.A. and that, what they call gangster rap. Then the game started switching over to the West Coast. You know, then we watched it go to Chicago. Common had a good run. The Brat, you know, Twista, you know, with a lot of things, Crucial Conflict. Chicago made some noise. But Atlanta, New Orleans got it, Atlanta got it, you know, and it goes in circles. The Bay had it, Chicago's been having it. Watching what Chicago's doing, now it's room for every multiple markets to really have a tight grip on the music game. But because the listener is broadened now, and then the access is easier. So when you look at the Bibbies, you look at Bibby and these guys, G Herbo, you know, Chief Keef, Lil Durk, you look at all these people, you know, Dreezy coming out of Chicago, these kids that came off the streets and was talking about what was going on in their neighborhoods. You look at their social media, you see them living in L.A., hanging out at great parties, driving great cars. They look clean. We talked to Bibby about growing up in Chicago and then him dropping out of high school because he just didn't see where high school was going to benefit him. And now being able to make a living as a young man, as an artist, has changed and opened his eyes. So we talked to him about completing what he stopped, getting his high school diploma. And we convinced him on air to get his high school diploma. He went and got it, became a straight-A student, and now he's thinking about going to college.
Yeah, that's right. That's amazing. He and G Herbo came through not too long ago on this show for listeners listening to this. They told the stories about their lives and how it affects them and how their art essentially is reflective of those experiences. Being in the center and having all these kids come through and tell their story, how do you get them to talk? You know, because hip hop has always had that chip on the shoulder. I have to have this attitude, almost a character, where I need to be street. I need to be hard. I need to just answer my questions as succinct as possible. But when I watch them talk with you and there's a level of respect, it seems like they want to open up and do something that's a little deeper. How do you draw that out?
I'm not doing anything in particular, Justin. I'm going to be honest with you. I think what it is we all kind of, like, you're very professional, really. I think you're great at what you do. You're engaging. You sound crisp and clean. And I mean that in a great way. And I trust you. That's why I'm this open with you. With the artists, a lot of the hip-hop artists, it's just a lot of pressure sometimes to be something or to continue something or to live up to something, or everything I'm going to say is going to be scrutinized. And who is this person asking me? I have no agenda. And I think besides whoever I hang out with. I don't have no big crew. I don't claim nothing. I don't wear jewelry. I don't brag about money. But I will let you know I'm genuinely interested in you as a person, and then how does that inform your artistry? Not you as an artist, and how does that inform who you are as a person? And I think when people can see that your heart and your intent is good, they're willing to open up. Not everybody opens up to me. Maybe not everybody catches that read. But I'm not trying to embarrass you to make a name for my radio show or be, go viral. Or I'm not playing the game, the industry game that we work in. It's a game you can play, and you can maneuver your way to a certain height. You know, you can say things that you know will make you popular the next day, but at what cost? I've never compromised, and I think people respect that. So when they come to talk to us, I think they realize that, he ain't up to nothing. If he wants to know, he genuinely wants to ask you, hey, man, why did y'all get into a fight? Right. What was that about? You know, I'm not asking because I'm thinking of the headline. And I think that's what it is, Justin. And then also, I've done radio since the 90s, and people have watched me interview.
Yeah, they know that. Right. We're talking with Sway. Sway, of course, from Sway in the Morning on Sirius XM, a longtime radio host, but also a reporter and executive producer at MTV News and all sorts of stuff. The show will be live on stage tomorrow morning at First Ward Chop Shop in Wicker Park. The broadcast starts at 7 a.m. Who are you going to have on the show? Is that hidden? Is that a secret? Or can you tell us who's going to be on?
It's always a secret, Justin. And if I was to tell you right now, I would have had to kidnap you. But
I got more show to do tonight.
We always have people. I'll tell you this, we're going to feature our Friday Fire Cypher.
Oh, that's
and
great.
We're letting anybody from Chicago who could get there in time, and we have enough time, we're going to let people show off their skills for the first time. They could do it on Save 4-5 and be heard by anywhere up to 32 million
that's
people.
That's amazing. So, what an opportunity. Yeah.
Yeah. It's 2033.
West North
Avenue.
Right there in Wicker Park, and we've had a lot of Chop Shop stuff on. It's right at North and Damon in Wicker Park. Sway, it's a pleasure to have you on the program. Thanks so much for taking some time out, and good luck with the broadcast tomorrow.
Thank you, brother. Hopefully you can stop by, man. I respect you, man. Thanks for having me.
Everybody outside when I pull up outside all night, though. Everybody high five, everybody wanna smile, everybody wanna lie, that's nice, no. Oh, now you wanna chill, oh, now you wanna build, oh, now you got the bill, that's cool, though. Oh, now you got the gas, oh, now you wanna laugh, oh, now you need a cab, that's true, though.
All you do is talk, I ain't got this to say. Can't no one get in my car, I don't even valet.
Long discussions, oh, you my cousin? No, you wasn't. You just want to ride. You just want to talk about politics, Chicago, this shit, rock this shit. Start dancing, boy.